Hey everyone, it's Leslie Boomer. I am here today with Neil Glatt. Welcome, Neil.
Hey Leslie, glad to be back. How you doing?
Hey, it's good, but we're waiting for it to warm up and just looking forward to consistently warm weather. How about you?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm excited for the first day. I can just like roll out to the patio without having to throw on a light coat here.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Same, same, same. So we're just going to welcome everyone to Grow the Benches Weekly Short and then start to talk about success measurement and what we've been doing, what's been working, what might not be as relevant to success indicators as we think. What do you got for us?
Well, you know, there's this idea of KPIs or key performance indicators, and look, data is important. I'm all about being data driven, but
for sure.
I keep running into situations where people are reporting key performance indicators that actually kind of don't indicate that much of their performance.
Well, that seems like a problem, doesn't it?
Well, only if you want it to be a useful, useful exercise or improve your reality, right?
Yeah, of course you want. I mean, if you're going to be putting time and energy into something, measuring something, you want to see results that make sense.
Yeah. So. And so, you know, I'm thinking about, well, why is this such a problem? And, I'll blame all the technology that we have and just sort of the, you know, sales pitch of companies that if you just buy this, we'll kind of change your whole business. And, you know, it's not that simple. And what comes off the shelf is not necessarily that good. And I think that there's really three reasons why, right?
Okay.
So one is a lot of KPIs that are being used is are lagging indicators. So they're telling you what already happened and never really give you, you know, a future focused chance to improve something, right? So the comparison to this is like every month I get a bank statement and it tells me all the deposits and withdrawals, right? So, you know, it's not bad information, but it doesn't help me reel in spending the way that a budget does, right? Setting a budget and a plan is going to help me predict and then hopefully change or improve in a meaningful way.
Okay, that's a good metaphor because I'm thinking to myself, in real time, how do you predict what I'm doing is effective?
Right. So the key performance indicators is what did you do? But, you know, you kind of already knew it, right?
Sure. Sure. You either got the sale or you didn't, right?
Yeah. I'm not opening a bank statement and be like, oh man, I didn't know that I saved so much money this month. That doesn't happen, right?
Sure.
It's a nice summary and a nice way to kind of view what's happening, but doesn't actually tell you why or how to improve. And so the equivalent to this would be in sales. I'm looking at reports that are telling me, okay, here's the number of quotes or meetings that we or closes that we had last year or last month. But that doesn't help me get better the way that a sales plan regarding the behaviors would, right? Or if in operations I'm looking at, hey, here's how efficient we were as a percentage of time, or here's how much windshield time people spent or overtime hours last week. You know, that doesn't help me like a staffing plan would or improving my job routing or timing would.
Sure. And it may just really kind of stress people out, and that doesn't always drive good performance.
Right. And so, you know, what I like to report on way more than these what we call lagging indicators, which tell us what happened, are leading indicators.
Okay.
Right. So I'm more interested in things for like sales of calls being made, because that's indicative of future performance, not past performance. Right. I'm more interested in for an operations team to tell me jobs scheduled or predicted drive time based on routing rather than actual windshield time.
Wow. Okay. So that's a whole different look.
It is. And it takes a little more work. But, you know, do these numbers actually help us improve? Are they future looking? Are they leading indicators?
So is this something that people need software for, training for? What are we looking at here?
I mean, does common sense count?
Like, sure.
I guess the answer is this indicative of something that's going to happen in a useful way?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this just summarizing what we kind of already knew or something that we can't actually change?
Okay.
Future focused outlook, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, the second thing is relevancy, right? So, you know, is this actually a useful number? And I think this is always a problem too.
Sure. Like, people measure foolish stuff sometimes.
Yeah. So I have someone who is referring to me. Here's the number of quotes outstanding. So we have $300,012 of quotes out there. Well, that doesn't tell me anything. And there's reasons why that doesn't tell me anything, right? Now, it could. In some organizations, and the reason why our CRM is telling us this is because in some organizations, that's actually valuable.
Okay.
So why would that be valuable? Well, that would be valuable if all the sales were relatively consistent opportunity size, meaning we didn't have $100,000 opportunities and $5,000 opportunities, right? So they're all kind of the same. And our process was consistent, so we knew that every single sale had roughly the same amount of opportunity of closing.
Got it.
But that's not true. Like when we look at close rate for a lot of companies, well, you miss one big opportunity and it really tanks your whole close rate, or you land one big opportunity that's, you know, unequally large, then it can really boost your close rate.
Yeah. And that's not helpful. So
it's not helpful.
It's not only what you're measuring, but how you're measuring it.
Yeah, right. Okay. So what's the quality or the assumptions built into whether this number could be useful? If we don't have a consistent close rate or reliable pipeline or consistent opportunity size, then proposals on the street doesn't tell me anything. But, you know, average number of days that a quote remains open before we either win or lose it, that could tell me a lot about whether my team can close, right?
Okay.
If stuff is out there for 7 days on average versus 30 days on average, well, one team is really closing a lot better than the other. Average opportunity size could tell me whether we're probably going to hit our goals based on our outbound activity, right? So if I know that the average proposal we write is $20,000 and we write one proposal for every five meetings, well, then I can start to multiply to figure out how many meetings I have to have.
Sure.
To hit my goals.
Yeah. This sounds like it's time to really kind of take stock.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Is there a relevant insight to be gained from this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is probably my favorite and the most common is misunderstood KPIs. And in my undergrad program, I had a business professor that would embarrass us in front of our entire class on a weekly basis.
So bad.
For this exact, this guy. Yeah, he's he's one of my heroes, right? We would have to prepare these big marketing plans with lots of numbers and lots of predictions and pro formas and, you know, budgets, whatever. And anytime you threw a number up on the screen that didn't actually have relevancy or wasn't actually understood, he would reference this, I guess now old movie called Spinal Tap, right? This is Spinal Tap is the
okay.
a mockumentary about this English rock band. And, you know, that's making fun of just metal bands and metal heads, right? And so it's a pretty good comedy, actually. But it's in the form of a documentary. And this fictional band, Spinal Tap, is being interviewed. And the interviewer says, you know, how do you guys play your music so loud? You're such a loud rock band. And the guy walks him over to his amp, right, with all the dials. And he says, the reason is because our dials go to 11. Right. And there's an 11 on this dial outside the 10. And so he says, so, you know, pretty much every other band in the world can only turn up their music to 10, but we can turn up our music to 11. That's one louder than 10. And it's so dumb because obviously your amp can only go so loud. It could be 0 to 1 or 0 to 100. It doesn't matter. It's just a relevant, relative level. Right.
Uh-huh.
And I see this in business, Leslie, all the time. right? So landscapers are talking about their revenue per man hour. Hey, last week we made $78 per man hour revenue. I don't know what that means, right? Like, is that good? Is that bad? Like,
compared to what?
Did you make money?
Yes.
And sometimes they don't know. I'm like, we're trying to sell. I'm trying to help a sales team sell for a certain volume, and they're giving me their reports. I go, is that profitable? Is it profitable enough? Because like, it doesn't tell me about their drive time, their overhead, the equipment they used, like any of it, right?
Well, yeah, and that needs to be a final breakdown that's based on all you just mentioned and more.
And even when you incorporate it, it doesn't mm-hmm. tell me enough, right? Like if you try and figure out for a profit per man hour, right? There's still so many questions that are just not answered there. And so this professor, anytime we said that, would be like, do you have loudspeakers that go to 11? That was like the shorthand joke of you're an idiot for using this number that you no longer understand. So, you know, if you can't really show me what this KPI is, if it's not actually indicative of performance, if it's not revenue per man hour, is probably one of the worst. Like, why are you even bothering?
Well, I mean, you have brought up a lot of really good questions, Neil, and I'm just going to suggest that it's time for folks to reevaluate how they're measuring success and finding out if that measurement is effective.
Yeah, I'm all for data-driven insights.
Sure.
Make sure your data is good.
Right. And if you want to talk to somebody about this, I'm going to suggest that you can do that by getting in contact with Neil and just having a conversation about what your data looks like, what your results are looking like, what that measurement is telling you. And if it's not good, let's talk about how you can do that better.
Yeah, we'd love to have that conversation.
Sure. So, hey, thanks everyone for tuning into another weekly short from Grow the Bench. I'm Leslie Boomer. We're going to be talking to Neil Glad again in 2 weeks, but I'll be back next week with Phil Harwood. Until then, have a great week.